Well, my title this evening is Real Religion Revealed. Real Religion Revealed. We read in our second scripture reading, you don't need to turn to it, if any man among you seem to be religious, there is a form of religion about a person, but he bridles not his tongue. He has no control over his behaviour, over his speech, but deceives his own heart. There is an outward appearance of being religious, as they say. Sometimes people describe us that go to church. They say, "Are you religious?" And we say, "Well, not really. No, we're Christians. We have a love for God, but we're not religious, as some call it." But deceives his own heart. That's the outward religion. James goes on to say, this man, this person's religion is vain, it's empty. There is an empty outward religion. But there is, as James is explaining in his letter, there is a real religion, a vital, living, personal religion between each of us individually and our God. That is what we want to describe and explain as simply as possible this evening. I trust that the youngest child that's viewing this evening will be able to follow, perhaps to take down a few points. You can count them up. I'll try to make them very clear. We want to define, we want to demonstrate, we want to show as plainly as possible how real religion is defined in the Word of God. So we can ask this question, are you religious? Many try to claim that they are. They want a form of religion, but it lacks that vital, living element. Can real religion be defined? Can I define it? Well, no, I can't. It's too great a subject. But the Word of God does define. It gives the key elements of what the real nature of religion, the Christian faith, is. We turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 30. It was our first reading this evening. And we read the words of Moses. Moses, who's called the great man of God. The man that Moses had a personal relationship before Moses died. He was described by the Lord himself as knowing Moses face to face. So intimate, so personal was the faith that Moses had. Moses, the great man of God, he gathers the people together. In chapter 29, he gathers the elders, the captains from each of the 12 tribes, and the women and the children, representatives of this vast children of Israel, 70 souls that went down to Egypt. And then a vast number that left Egypt, and by now 2 to 3 million people. They can't all gather together in one place. So he brings the representatives together. And he, in these final chapters, age 120, days, weeks, perhaps, maybe months, before he's going to die, he won't see the promised land because of the sin of the people. And so he gathers them together. And in chapter 30, he's going to explain real, vital religion. I want to make a contrast this evening. There is heart religion. Heart religion that's personal, inside us. And there's outward religion. It has a form. It has an appearance, but it's false. This is not real religion. It's a delusion. You are a fool tonight if you're relying upon some outward form. You are a fool if you're relying upon your parents' religion and faith. You're not fooling God. You're probably not fooling yourself, because you know deep down in your heart that you don't walk with God. You don't pray. You have no peace. You have no forgiveness. You don't know what the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is. You don't know that He died instead of you as your substitute. No, you might fool some people some of the time, but you don't fool God. So let's try to define these vital aspects. Is this a strange thing to turn to a part of the Bible that's nearly 3,000 years old in order to try to define and demonstrate real religion? Well, no, not really. Because the children of Israel, they had been immensely rebellious. They'd strayed. They'd gone after so many gods. Imaginary, designer gods. Gods that they had designed themselves. It didn't have the designer label of some other religion. They made their own, like some designer clothes that a person has put on to suit, to fit, to suit your colour, to suit your taste. Imaginary gods, that's what they'd done. They'd made up so many. They had been rebellious and they're rejected. The holy God of Israel, the one God, pure, perfect, eternal, in favour of these thousands of designer gods. And so Moses comes at the end of his life, and it's very significant, days before he dies, that he's going to say, I'm going to leave you in the years ahead. As you who've survived the wilderness, the younger generation, that's who he's appealing to. The children have been gathered. He says to them, I want you to turn back to the one true and holy God. I want you to have vital, real faith within your hearts. Not the phony, not the fake, not the superficial. We want it to be real. And so Moses comes and he's going to set out. There's so many aspects of it in this chapter, but we shall consider a number of them this evening. The first one is this. It's here in verse 1. Real religion starts with God. It doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with what I think and what you think. It doesn't start with my tastes, my senses, my feelings. Real religion is God speaking to humanity. It's vertical, not horizontal. Horizontal. God speaking to man. Not on this plane. It's not about me communing and communicating with you. Look at verse 1. It shall come to pass, after the things that have happened, the blessings and the cursings which he's laid before them in previous chapters, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you. You see, real religion is God setting forth, publishing, proclaiming the word of God, the message of God. It's a setting forth, a setting down, a putting before us so we can see it, so we can hear it. That's what it's about. It's vertical. When we think of the message of the Bible, It doesn't say, what do you think? You tell me what you think. It declares, it publishes. In the beginning, God, the very first verse of the Bible. Just look at John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a person who came with a message. And therefore it's not surprising that Moses says, I've set before you a message. I've set you before you a covenant. A contract, will go on to explain that. It's a message that you need to understand. I've told you about it. I gathered you together. I've set it before you. You need to come to understand it. That's the first thing we can say tonight. God wants them to hear and to understand. Just look back at chapter 29. He says it in verse 13. This is Moses speaking on behalf of God, that he may establish thee today for a people. God is speaking to them. He wants to rescue them. He wants to save them. And that he may be unto thee a God. God is offering himself to them. That he may be unto thee a God, a kind God, a gracious God, a merciful God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn, promised, set out a contract unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 14, neither with you only do I make this covenant, this oath, this promise. That's what it's about. God setting forth, putting before them, showing them the ways of God. This is what real religion is about. It's not an opinion poll. It's not gathering people together for designer religion. This is about God declaring, showing from heaven to earth, setting forth, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will be gracious to you. You are to be obedient to me. You are to be a thankful people, to praise me, to thank me for all that I have done, all that I am doing, and all that I will do in the future. Well, secondly, we see it here again in verse 1. This second aspect, real religion, how does it start? It starts with the mind. It doesn't start with a tingling feeling. It doesn't start with the senses, with smell, with looking at stained glass windows. It doesn't start with hearing a beautiful sound. It starts with the mind. I've set before thee, verse 1, and thou shalt call them to mind. Here's the word of God, put before you, set forth. And as God begins to waken your soul, it will be your mind, your memory, remembering what God has said. Oh yes, he's spoken to the people in times past. He's spoken to me when I was growing up, as I'm growing up. And he's speaking to me now. And I bring these things to my memory. And I call to mind. Thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations. Even if you've been scattered around after the exile, wherever the Lord has driven you, you know. In times to come, you children of Israel, you're going to be in many countries. Remember. Remember what God said to you. Remember he would be kind and he would be gracious. The second thing, God's word comes to mind, and I remember what this is all about. No wonder he says to them, call it to mind. He's going to say that word again. But the third thing, it's repeated. We could turn to many verses, but just look at verse 2. He says, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. So much of religion is insincere. Somebody goes to church on Christmas Day. We never see them again. They go to church for a funeral or for a wedding. We never see them again. They turn to the Bible, maybe a Gideon Bible, that they find in a hotel room when they're feeling low. They never read it again. Just when there's an exam, just when there's a death, just when there's some self-centered need, and we turn to God. That's not sincerity. That's not the genuineness that Moses is striving for. He says, I command thee this day, verse 2, thou and thy children, with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Look in verse 6, he says it again, with all thy soul. It's repeated throughout the chapter that we read. Real religion, thirdly, it involves mind, heart, the feelings, and the soul, the part of me that speaks to God. I have to pray. It can't just be what I do with my hands, pretending. It's got to involve all three of those faculties: mind that thinks, heart that feels, soul that believes and trusts. By faith, all your heart, all your soul, the inner you. Is your religion just on the outside? Do you come to church because your parents want you to? They expect you to? Do you come to church as an adult because your mother or father that's now died, that's what they did? You do it out of habit. That's not sincere religion. That's not vital living faith. That's outward. It's fake. It's phony. It's sham. But fourthly, we look here at the beginning of verse 2. Moses says, real religion involves obeying a call. Thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God and shalt obey his voice. You see, when God sets before us his word, the next thing he does, after he's made this offer, this kindness to be our God, he sets before us a call. He says, I'm speaking to you, friend. I'm speaking to you, to your soul. And my voice must be obeyed. My voice, you see what would happen. The people would be scattered, even in the wilderness. Spiritually, they'd been scattered, worshipping those thousands of different gods, wandering, devising in the imaginations of their heart all sorts of things that weren't right, weren't real. And so they needed to return. And Moses says, when you remember what God said, you must return. You must obey that voice, the voice of God, not my voice, not your parents' voice, the voice of him, his voice, according to all that I command you this day. You see, we don't do that naturally. We don't want to obey. We go off. But the Lord says, obey, obey, listen, return, follow. That's his voice. We hear, we obey, we take our hands away from our ears Sometimes, even as adults, it's as though we put our hands over our ears. I'm not listening to you. I don't want to hear you. Like a child that doesn't want to be shown how to do the Lego. Doesn't want to be shown how to make something. And they're making a terrible mess. But we're not talking about Lego. We're talking about your life, your soul, your eternity. Don't make a terrible mess by keeping your hands over your ears, tightly saying, I'm not listening, I'm not hearing. Obey the voice of God. But you see, the fifth point, the fifth aspect of this real religion. Verse 3, he says, there needs to be a saviour. There must be salvation. Then the Lord thy God will turn your captivity. You see, you're bound. You were bound in Egypt. But you're going to be locked in your sin. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe there is something in your heart that no one knows about. Something vile, unclean, something selfish. Maybe you're a jealous person, always wanting what other people have, and you haven't got it, and you're not satisfied. You're trapped. That's your particular sin. You're in captivity. Maybe you have a me-centered view of life. All of us can be like that. You're in captivity. You're bound as though you're in prison. And you need to be released like a captive. That's the word. God says, I'll have compassion. What a wonderful word. Then the Lord thy God will turn. He'll turn you from being bound and he'll let you go. Just as the children of Israel, they were bound in captivity and then they were released. But one day they'd need to be released again from the captivity of Satan. And the Lord promises through Moses, I will have compassion, the kindness of a father, the kindness of a father that will forgive. I'll have compassion upon thee and I will return. That's the sixth point. There is such a distance between me and my God when I'm far from him. When I've gone away, he hasn't gone away from me. Maybe he's withdrawn the closeness. Maybe he doesn't speak to me as often as he once did. But now there's a distance. Look at all these words. Return, because I'm far away. Gather, because he comes to find me. Scattered, because we're in distant lands. Look at verse 4. We've been driven out, again a distance term, to the outmost parts of heaven, of the universe. I'm far from God. God says he will gather us. And there's another word here. At the end of verse 4, he will even fetch. He comes to me. He finds me in a far off land, far from God, not seeking him, not searching him. And he comes to retrieve me. He comes looking for me. He comes to get me. He comes to bring me back, to fetch. Not like a dog that goes to fetch a bone. He comes to find me. I'm hidden. Far, far away. Too far that can be fetched normally. He comes into another country. He crosses the border. And he comes to find me. That's what real religion is. God finding us. Removing the distance. So that we can say, let us draw near to God. But there's another thing. The seventh thing, real Religion gives us a desire to obey God. Look down in verse 8. Thou shalt return. The Lord has heard our cry. He's come to find us. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost, and we return. What do we do now? We have a heart that wants to obey God and to obey His voice and to do all the commandments that He commands us. I can't do that. My heart wants to disobey. My heart doesn't want to listen to my parents. My heart wants to have an inner, dark, secret life. I'm not open. I'm not public and transparent. But God puts a new heart inside me. I've returned. And He gives me this desire to obey the voice, this desire to follow the commandments. Now I want to please God. I want to keep His commandments, and that new heart, it helps me to obey. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I fall and slip. I have an imperfect heart, but now I want to please Him because my master is no longer the master of captivity. It's the master of liberty, the Lord Jesus Christ. But just a few more things as we close. Real religion, verse 9, it gives us blessings. Blessings that can't be counted. Blessings of life. Blessings of the body. Blessings of the hand. Fruit. What we do. What we look after. What we care for. Those things will be blessed because God desires our good. Religion never was designed to make us sad. It was always for our good. True religion, real religion, it doesn't enslave us. It frees us. It blesses us. It gives us fruitfulness, prosperity. But then two more things. What happens? Verse 9. I hearken. I hear God. I listen to His voice. And I come and I turn. I repent of my sin. I turn unto God. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If thou turn. That's repentance. I leave that land where I used to live away from God. And I turn unto the Lord my God with sincerity. With all my heart. With all my soul. Just one more thing that distinguishes real religion. It's down here in these verses 14 and 15 and onwards. Just in closing, the 10th aspect of real, vital religion. Real religion is open. It's revealed. Do you know the way we can tell the sects are false? Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, so many other of these fake, false religions which are no religion. They relied upon a secret revelation. There was Joseph Smith, or was this person or that person. And they had a secret revelation. It happened on one night. Not like the Bible. 40 authors over 1500 years in several continents where every word was attested and proven. And in addition to that, God came from heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and proved and authenticated, and then rose again. Oh no, what a difference there is. All the difference in the world between open, heaven revealed, Christ revealed, word revealed, faith, and all the rest of what goes for religion. It's like the religion of James. False religion doesn't change our behavior. It doesn't control the tongue. It doesn't change the inner life. But real religion, it does all those things. It's not hidden. Verse 14, it's near. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. You can access it. And then Moses says these wonderful words, I've set before you life and death. We'll have to come to this another time. I've set before you blessing and cursing and evil. Choose life. There is only one choice. Yes, there's two, but you can't choose the other one. You have to come. You have to do as it says in verse 19, as heaven listens in and witnesses and records, therefore choose life. This is your life. This is the real religion that's been revealed by God. Not mass religion, personal religion in the heart. To every single individual that looks for it and seeks it and will surely find it. Choose life. This is your eternal life. This is your only hope. Don't turn away. As it says in verse 17, if you turn your heart away and you won't hear and you're drawn away, I don't want anyone to be drawn away tonight. Is there a teenager that you feel the pull of the world? Don't be drawn away. Choose life. See the kindness of God calling to your heart tonight and come to Him and obey His voice.